Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I love New Mexico. I mean, I love Arizona too, but I also love New Mexico, the land of enchantment. And 3-hour road trip puts you in the vicinity of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and the Buckmaster Show. Guarantee it will be cooler. Over in Silver City, I usually say about 10 to 15 degrees cooler, 78 degrees midday in Silver City at that 5,500-foot elevation. Look at these high temperatures, right around 80 degrees, overnight lows around 60. Want to cool off? And they, unlike Tucson, have had a ton of rain in New Mexico over the last 3 or 4 days. So not only are you going to get cooler weather, but you're going to get some beautiful greened up conditions in the Gila National Wilderness. SouthwestNewMexico.org is your starting place to find out more about your trip over to Silver City. Let's welcome now Attorney Don Luce. He is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He is the contributor, not only legal contributor to our show, but the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books in their second printing. Let's go now on the live line to the vicinity of Traverse City, Michigan, a beautiful area. I love it over there. Growing up in Chicago, it was always a pleasure to cross the lake to Traverse City. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty darn good. Been following you on Facebook. You were out on Lake Michigan a couple of days ago. How's the trip going up there in Michigan?
Fantastic, Bill. I'm looking right now across the water at Mackinac Island.
Oh.
I see the Grand Hotel,
oh.
And my readout says 68 degrees.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Yeah, yep. Very nice. Beautiful summer up in Michigan. Morgan Stanley told employees, Don Luce, these are employees who work at the Manhattan headquarters, they have to be vaccinated against COVID-19 before they can return to the office. The bank also said in a memo to New York employees that staff working in buildings with a large employee presence must confirm their vaccination status by early July. Don, can an employer, and I know we've talked about this over the past couple of months, but I want to get an update on this. Now, can an employer mandate a vaccination before returning to work?
Well, generally speaking, the answer is yes. Now, you have to say a little more about what kind of employer. So if the employer has unionized employees, then it may be subject to a collective bargaining agreement, and there may be some issues with regard to the unionization. The employer may have to negotiate that issue with the union. If there is no union, and if the employer has less than 15 employees and is an Arizona-based employer, or it's an employer doing business in Arizona, it's not subject to federal law that governs religious beliefs, disabilities, and those types of issues. If you have 15 or more employees, then you have issues to do with, you know, if somebody has, for instance, a medical disability, you would have to provide a medical exemption for that person. And likewise, if someone had a sincerely held religious belief, you would have to provide an exception. So 15 or more employees, the employer is subject to Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and also the Americans with Disabilities Act. Less than 15, those federal laws do not apply, and there is no Arizona equivalency. So under Arizona state law, there is no requirement that you provide an exception to those with sincerely held religious beliefs or that you give a medical exemption to those with disabilities. Now, as a practical matter, should an employer do that? Probably, most likely, definitely, yes. Legally, is an employer required to do that? No. So it's going to vary depending on the location of the employer, whether in Arizona or outside of Arizona, the size of the employer, whether 15 or more employees or less than that, and the type of employment relationship that it has with its employees. If there is a collective bargaining agreement in place, then the employer may find itself dealing with the union with regards to these types of issues. But generally speaking, an employer can require that its employees be vaccinated before returning to the workplace. As a general rule, that's yes.
When I brought this up to you several months ago, this was kind of really evolving. I think we were kind of ahead of the curve when I brought this up several months ago with you. But now, as Aaron McLaughlin, who's a labor and employment attorney at Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney, is quoted by CNN as saying, we are seeing tons of major corporations now writing up policies concerning this, Don Luce, about who have been fully vaccinated and the policies for employees who have not. So now the big business is really into this full bore.
Well, yes, and there are a couple of points that I'd like to make with regard to what's happened in the last several months. Number one, vaccinations have become, you know, fairly widespread throughout the country. They are being administered under an emergency use authorization from the FDA. So they have been found effective and safe, at least as concerns the research that's in to date. But they have the blessing of the FDA, and that's important because the employers, if requiring their employees to be vaccinated, sort of have the cover of the protection of the FDA emergency use authorization. Secondly, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which governs employer-employee relationships, about a month ago came out and said it is not improper for an employer to require its employees to be vaccinated. In other words, that in and of itself doesn't violate federal law. Now, we had talked earlier about Title VII and also the ADA. Those are special categories. But generally speaking, the EEOC is not going to have a problem with an employer who requires its employees to be vaccinated as a condition of continued employment. And so that's been a major change, and that's why we're seeing major corporations now coming out with these policies that, well, you may have to provide proof of vaccination, right?
Mm-hmm. Or
the employer may be able to say, you haven't been vaccinated, and before you come back to the office, you have to be vaccinated. And generally speaking, the employee is not going to be in a position to say, no, I refuse to be vaccinated, generally speaking. So those changes have just taken place, especially with regard to the EEOC mandate or directive that came out about a month ago.
When asking about vaccination status, attorneys are being advised, or they are advising employers to limit the inquiry, especially if the answer is no on the part coming back from an employee. Your thoughts on that?
That is a very good point. And the reason you stop at no is because the next step may reveal medical information about the employee that the employer is not entitled to. So if you're asking the why question,
mm-hmm.
I say you're asking for trouble. I would say, If you're going to make inquiries about vaccination status, and I think that's fair game, then you limit your inquiry and you stop at no. You know, you don't ask the why question. So very important point, because not only is the information itself protected, but merely asking the question in some cases can be problematic on part of the employer. So the employer should not be asking employees why they're not vaccinated.
And it will vary from state to state, I imagine, correct? Or no?
Correct. It does. And the reason is because federal law does not apply to any employer with less than 15 employees. And so then you would default to state law. And as I mentioned earlier, Arizona doesn't have a comparable statute to Title VII or to the ADA. Now, some states have laws that provide protections along those lines, but Arizona is not one of them. And so it goes by state law for the smaller employees with regard to smaller employers, and with regard to employers with 15 or more employees, then of course federal law applies, and we've already discussed that. Now, the interesting thing here, and I think you and I have discussed this before, every state, all 50 states, have some form of mandatory vaccination requirement for school children.
Yes.
Ages K through 12.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is kind of a parallel requirement for COVID vaccinations, like you see for mumps and measles and smallpox and those kinds of diseases. And the people who are looking at this and saying, well, how come I have to get vaccinated? The analogy might be, well, why do school children need to be vaccinated?
Right.
Because that is a requirement, and nobody really seems to give much pushback on that.
All right, Don, I'm going to have to let you go. Enjoy the rest of your vacation up in Michigan. Attorney Don Luce
Thanks,
with us.
Bill.
Thanks a lot. Don Luce, the author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books in their second printing. We thanks Don for being with us every month. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Attorney Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, Bill Buckmaster wishing you a beautiful day.